إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the best example for you is the example of the life of my Nabi, for the one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who engages himself in a lot of dhikr. I remind myself and you, thinking the other day, yesterday I spoke at the Minorities Commission seminar on ISIS. Day before that we were discussing the issues of things that are happening in the world. And what strikes me over and over and over is the fact that at the end of the day, nobody cares what you know. The only thing that they care is what you do. So it is not the amount of knowledge you have which makes any difference. It is the kind of actions. It is your behavior, it is your akhlaq, it is your manners, it is your muamilat, it is your maashara. Knowledge by itself has no value unless it is applied. So the knowledge of the alim must be visible in his actions. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran mentioned this term several times. Jaza'am bima kanu ya'malun. Allah did not say jaza'am bima kanu ya'lamun. Because this is the reward for what you know. No, it's the reward for what you do. Jaza'am bima kanu ya'malun. Your amal. That is the thing which I remind myself over and over again, that people do not care what you say until they see what you do. You can say whatever you want, you can stand and make all kinds of great speeches. It makes no difference if your behavior is different from that speech. People will listen to the speech, but they are interested in your behavior. If you say that you should pray, then you should be praying. If you are not praying, then the talking about prayer doesn't work. If you talk, this is why I sometimes find it very amusing. People hold functions of Miladun Nabi. I'm not going into the issue of whether Milad itself should be done or not. I'm just saying that you hold a function. You have a big gathering and so on under the title of Miladun Nabi. And you are talking about the Seerat of Rasulullah, and you see on the stage among the dignitaries, you will find almost everybody has no beards. So I am not, I always say I am not a barber, but my point is that if you are talking about the Sunnah of Rasulullah, you held this whole function in order to celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah, quite apart from whether that itself is something to do or not. The fact that at least look like somebody who follows the Sunnah. You're going to be standing and making a great speech about Ishq of the Nabi, and then somebody looks at you and there is no semblance of the Nabi even in your appearance. What sense does it make? And today this is a problem with us globally, that Muslims have become people of speech. Guftar ke ghazi. Kirdar ka ghazi banna saka, Allama Iqbal said. So just talking, and you think that you are talking your way to victory. Nobody talks their way to victory. You have to fight, you have to run, you have to compete. And that is the key. The Rio Olympics have opened, and one of the teams there is a team of refugees. Can you imagine? I mean, imagine the courage of people. How they are refugees, but they are able to compete in the Olympics. And they have no country, so they are walking behind the Olympic flag. What kind of courage is that? What kind of perseverance? Where are they? You've got people there from countries which spend a fortune on the training of their athletes, and here you've got a bunch of refugees. Who is spending anything on them? Where are their training coaches, and where are their training centers and whatnot? And the beauty and food and, you know, their diet and these Olympic players, I mean, they are like bred and looked after like racehorses. Who is doing it for the refugees? These people, they have lost everything. They have lost their homes and everything else. One of them, amazing, I tell you, subhanAllah, ajeeb, Allah Ta'ala shows. One of them is a girl who pushed a boat in the ocean for 3 miles to get it to the shore. She is participating in a swimming contest. Imagine. Who cares whether she wins the Olympic swimming gold or not? She actually won the gold in the ocean, the open ocean where there are no rules, and where there are sharks and all kinds of dangers. The boat in which she was traveling, that boat was in danger. This girl leaps out of the boat into the ocean, and she pushes that boat 3 miles in the ocean. And she's participating in that. Imagine, subhanAllah, ajeeb, I tell you. That's why I say the refugees will inherit the world, because they are the people of courage. Not the cowards who got them, who made them refugees. They don't understand what they have opened, what they have unleashed. They have unleashed the future rulers of this world, inshallah. This trials and tribulations that they are going through is nothing. This is the fire through which iron has to pass to be tempered and turned into steel. This is the iron, this is the fire. This is the fire that the iron has to pass, where all the dross is melted and removed. And what emerges from there is steel, which will cut through anything. So that's what is happening to the refugees. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help for them, and for His nusrat for them, and for the junood al malaika to be sent to help them in their difficulties. So issue of amal. And that's why I think seriously we must focus, especially those of us who are involved in education of any kind, whether it's madaris, whether it's schools, or as advisors and so on, we must focus very clearly on the application of the knowledge. I was reading the World Bank statistics. India has this great distinction of having in IT 3.7% of graduates of this country are employable, which means 97.6% of the graduates of this country are unemployable. Now imagine, whose fault is it? The poor kid went to school and he goes to this college for 4 years of education. At the end of that, he is not employable. He's got a degree which he can, you know, I don't know what he can use it for, but he is not. And these are global statistics. The best that they can do, there were 4 or 5 IT, ITES and 4 or 5 things. The best of that is 15.3%. 15.3% employable. I mean, 15% is not even a passing score. I mean, a passing score is 40%. 15.3% of graduates, engineering graduates in this country, are employable. That is how pathetic the state of education is. And why? Because engineering is, find me something which is more practical than engineering. The word engineering means practice, means doing something with your hands. What else is engineering? And you can say something about, say management or this or that. You might say, well, you know, I don't have to actually work with my hands. But engineering, what is engineering if it is not working with your hands? But we actually managed to teach engineering without touching a tool. We managed to teach engineering without getting your hands dirty. And that's why they're completely unemployable. They come out with a degree, they have no clue, they can't build anything, they can't invent anything, they can't repair anything, they can't do anything. This is the tragedy. So I'm talking about this, and I'm saying now, take for example our madaris. You have got Darul Ulooms, you have got madaris. The person comes out of there with a degree of alim. Now somebody, one of my dear friends in South Africa, who is the head of one of the jamias there, he asked me, they were starting a school, a madrasa. He said, what should we call the graduates? I said, call them whatever you want, but don't call them alim. Do not call them alim. So he started laughing. He said, Hazrat, phir kya unko kya bole? Maine kaha, amil bolo. Seriously. Amil means worker, right? So amil bolo. And if you think about it seriously, when people talk about the Salaf, what do they mention? When people talk about Hasan al-Basri, what do they say? They say he was a Zahid. The alim nahi the jahil the. But nobody mentions it. Just read about Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. Nobody would mention that Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi was a Hafiz Quran, and that he was a great alim. He studied, he was a direct student of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He's supposed to be they call him the greatest of the Tabi'in. But when people talk about it, they say he was an abid. He used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. Huh? Bishar al-Hafi, Abid. When they talk about Imam Malik rahmatullahi, what do they say about him? They talk about how he used to prepare in order to come and give the dars of hadith. They talk about the incident where he was sitting giving dars of hadith on the sand in Masjid an-Nabawi, and people found he suddenly became extremely pale and all the blood drained from his face and he became almost white and looked like he was going to faint, but he continued with the dars until the dars finished and then he collapsed. And when they found he had been bitten, there was a scorpion which was biting him, and the scorpion stung him some 20 something times, Allah knows best. But he did not even move. He did not move, he did not even tell people anything, because of the adab of Rasulullah ﷺ while reciting the or teaching the ahadith of Nabi ﷺ. So if you read about the Salaf, you will find account after account of their behavior. Nobody says Imam Malik, when Imam Malik was normal people used to say, ulama used to say, how can I give a fatwa when Malik is in Medina? So this was his level of his knowledge. Nobody denies that. But what is it that stands out? Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi, what do people talk about? Jihad of Ibn Taymiyyah, he was fighting the Mongols. They talk about Ibn Taymiyyah was a mujahid. Look at all the big names and you will find that people talk about their action. What is it that they did? And today, we say so-and-so is an alim. Because of, this is a reward of what you have done. Allah is not talking about what you have done. Now, reason I began with the ayat concerning the seerah is because the older I get, the more I read, the more I reflect, the more I am convinced that the root and the solution to the ills of the world is the seerah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, I very, very strongly believe that the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be studied in detail. The tragedy is that even in our Darul Ulooms, even in our Jamiat and Madaris, Siratul Nabi is not a subject. I have never understood this. Whose logic? How do they design this curriculum? How is it that you are a Muslim, your Rabb told you to study the Sirah of His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you design a curriculum in a religious institution without the Sirah as a subject? The Sirah that our graduates from these madaris get access to is whatever stories or whatever details come to them in Asbab and Nuzul of the Ayat of the Quran, or when they study Hadith, what comes in the Hadith in terms of when a Hadith is mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was here, there, that is all that they know about the Sirah. Which is an absolute tragedy. Make sure that Sirah is a formal subject in your curriculum. Make sure that there is a time for studying that seerah. There is an hour in the day for studying the seerah. Make sure there is an examination on that seerah, and make sure it is a practical examination. Number one. Number two, I think assessment of students, whether it is Muslim schools, whether it is Darul Ulooms, Jamiat, Madaris, assessment of students must also be made in terms of their behavior. Not only in terms of an exam and all that. The teachers must monitor the behavior of the student. So, I strongly recommend that people who are running institutions, please set in a system, actually have a formal report on each student in terms of that student's behavior. What does he do as far as his salawat is concerned? What are his ibadat? What kind of zikr is he doing? How much Quran is he reading every time on a daily basis? How does he deal with, let them watch them. How does he deal with people? How does he deal with the khuddam in the Darul Uloom? What is his behavior outside? How does he dress? Is he neatly dressed, not neatly dressed? Watch them and clearly mention and check all of this. Believe me, this is done in every global international public school. In every international global school, in our school, in my school, HPS, they would come and they would see how we made the bed. So why on earth must we not do that in our religious institutions? seriously, I strongly recommend and advise, please focus on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in terms of application. Let us graduate amilin, people who are workers, not ulama, people who know. We don't care people what they know. We have to see what they are actually doing. And let us do that. Let us apply Islam in our lives. The applied Islam, which we coined the phrase, and there is the book also on applied Islam. Let us apply Islam in our lives. Not just learn about Islam, not even be ignorant about Islam, but actually apply Islam in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this and to make it easy for us and to accept it from us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.